previously on the Hired Swords. A storm of darkness brews just beyond the horizon, churning and toiling with evil intent. How often have you felt that bitter cold chill of despair? How many times has it taken your heart and frozen it solid, away from the world, alone in your own misery, unfeeling, unrelenting emptiness? You're listening to The Hired Swords, but I feel like you probably already knew that.
Hello, everyone.
Is everyone ready? We good?
Welcome to The Hired Swords, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Let's start over. Dungeons and Dragons. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Hired Swords. I'm your Dungeon Master, Michael, and I'm super glad that you're with us. And guys, I'm glad you're with us too, players. Introduce yourselves.
Well, this is Hello, weird. I'm Joxer. Or, no, I'm Mikey, and I play Joxer.
Hi, I'm Gwen, and I play Ashley, who's also Gwen. Isn't that neat?
That's a net. Oh, Valley no. Girl Gwen.
Buongiorno. I'm Derek, and I have an accent.
Well, hey there. It's me, Blaze. I play Kriegy Galder.
What is wrong with us?
Hi, my name's Michael. I'm the Dungeon Master, or Game Master, some may prefer. Or Game running runner.
That M isn't coming through.
Game Master. I apologize. Okay. Don't want to say I'm something I'm not. I'm who I am. All right. Agreed. When we last left off, we were just as... I don't know what the energy is tonight. That's an interesting energy. But when we last left off, we had been traveling through the wilds, the northern, very northern stretches of the wilds, past Lonely Hill, past anywhere we know any other travelers or hired swords had been. And in doing so, came across the dark fog or mist that has been encroaching upon the wilds as it moved southward from the Untouched Lands to the north. The party traveled into this mist a little ways and decided to settle down for camp, not really being able to find a real safe place, just having to settle before they get into the big, thickest parts of this mist. They begin to settle in, and that mist begins to kind of creep around their camp. Joxer seeing something that startled him and gave him a fright, a little fright, and Gwendolyn experiencing a bit of apathy, having a struggle. Somehow something affected her in a way where things that were super important to her are no longer as big of a deal. And so we sit now as the end of the night comes. The sun starts to come up, though it still stays rather dim because it's pretty dark here in this dark mist-filled forest as you begin to awaken, everyone. What shall you do now?
I wake up.
Great. This is
I don't think playing. I ever fell asleep, so
true.
As it all comes up, I'll probably, you know, place my hand on each what is it?
Duck goose?
What?
Head goose goose.
I put my hand on the head goose. They know.
Heads up, so seven confused.
I want to say it's morning. Everybody, please get up.
I'm awake. What's going on?
Is it morning?
I think so. It feels like it's been about that time. I think it's brighter.
Oh, it reminds me of this one time we had a fire at the farm, and the clouds were all black and dark all day long. It kind of gives that gloomy look. Reminds me of that.
Still looks night to me.
Yeah, do you want to stay here any longer? I'm ready to get out of here.
I do. I mean, I'm just so tired. And you can notice Gwendolyn's not really stuttering like she is.
Well, we can sleep tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Maybe we could find a spot where night is night and day is day. It seems to help some people sleep.
Joxer, where are we on the map? You have that map, right?
Yeah, let me, and I'll roll it out and try to get a gauge of about where I think we are. I don't know if that'll take, I'll for sure pull up, you know, my little balls of light and see if I can see where we're at.
Make a survival check. You basically have to go by where you remember being the last time and how you think you've been traveling thus far. You don't really have any landmarks.
May I help him? May I give him aid?
Yes, sure. That's advantage or you both roll. Your choice.
I'll let you take advantage.
Okay.
While they're looking at the map and all this stuff, I'm going to try to do just some basic calisthenics to get the blood pumping because I'm not I didn't sleep well, so yeah.
Kriggs is often doing calisthenics.
Yeah, yeah. He loves calisthenics.
He's an old man. He's got to stay as limber as he can.
That's true. That's true.
18 plus 1.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you gather that you've traveled almost directly north after exiting Lonely Hill, and if you time it out right, if the kind of spacing and judging on where you were at the Hunter's Camp and how long it took to get to Lonely Hill from there and all that, judging from kind of the history of your travels thus far and then looking ahead, it looks like you're about halfway from Lonely Hill to this large stripe on the map called the Black River.
It looks like we're getting close to this Black River. I'm not sure, but come here. Look, this looks like where I think we are.
All right, I guess we'll just keep heading down the river then. I mean, any landmark is better than no landmark, right?
That's fair. And I mean, water is normally a good sign for life, for better, for worse.
Oh, is that what we're looking for? I don't even know.
98, 99, 100.
There's no way you did 100 of those things. You liar.
You weren't paying very close attention then, were you?
I think that's what you're banking on.
Okay, maybe not. Well, have we figured out where we are and where we're headed?
Well, yes and no. We were still heading north.
I mean, that's the best we can do. That was our initial plan, after all. Gwen, you ready to take off, or?
I guess, but where are we really going?
Well, you know, honestly, as good as any of us does, we were headed north because that's where it seemed we were called to by those in Wild Hill that had a little bit more intel than we did as to what's going on in this area. Those that had close dealings with Darnaldi and all those.
I mean, what if we're just being lied to? Why don't we just go somewhere else?
Well, where do you want to go? I mean, we needed a direction, and this seemed to be the best option that we had at the time. Do you have something better that you want to be doing?
I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to be doing. But who cares? And she gets out of her little, like, bed pile. Kind of like a teenager that doesn't want to go to school or put their clothes on. She kind of just is slinking up from the ground. Well, you have the most money, so I mean, I'll go where you go. And you have maps, so...
Yeah, I mean, at least where we came from doesn't seem super beneficial. I'd like to see something different than giant dead plants and such.
Not sure if this is just a case of adventure fatigue or taking an arrow to the knee. I'm not really sure, but maybe we get out of this dense, dreary area, and maybe it'll breathe a little bit of life back into us. I'm ready to get out of this dark, thick fog and everything else that's been around us has not been too great. Maybe there'll be a little bit better, brighter, who knows, up north.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with that you, Kriggs.
Might also just be wishful thinking, honestly.
You guys just talk too much, my gosh. And she starts walking away, and she kind of left Dale on the ground. She has her bag.
Somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bedroll today.
I'm going to kind of look back at you guys. I'm not going to say this silently, because I'm not trying to keep it quietly, but it's, well, I feel like we've had a different event in this darkness where one of our members has been a little off. We might be dealing with something similar to what Kriggs went through before.
Oh, where's Dale? Haha, gotta go get my guy, I guess. And she just kind of picks up Dale like a disgusting way with just two fingers. And she's just like, just put you in there, and throws him in her bag. And she starts taking off in the direction that we were going to go, towards the Black River.
Devin just looks at the other two like, did you see this?
I'm going to kind of, not super out loud, but I'm going to whisper to Devin, is it me or does she seem a little entranced this morning? Something's definitely off.
Yeah, something's different for sure.
Is there any way to tell if she has anything? I mean, I know whenever I faced the Fomorian in the barracks and, the hags in the wild, something changed in me. Is there any way you and your magics, you can tell whether or not she's being influenced by any outside parties or entities that may have come through the night?
There's one thing I could try. And Devin's going to jog up to Gwen. And as he starts heading up there, he goes, Gwen.
Yes?
Are you being influenced by any sort of magical thing or something affecting your mood?
Kriggs just drops his head.
Because I feel like you're acting weird and different. That kind of happened to Kriggs before, too.
I'm fine. And she keeps walking.
Because I haven't seen your teeth yet today, and usually you're smiling a lot.
She turns around and does this, forced smile, is that better?
Instagram smile?
Yeah.
Starts working her angles.
Come on!
All right, Let's go, guys. Gwen's ready to move.
As I start to catch up, I'll just throw on my mage armor and look over at Davin. I have a feeling we might need this.
All right, but I'm not doing it because you did it.
I'm more scared of Gwen right now.
Having noticed them now both cast mage armor, I'm going to give them the finger guns and say, hey, Twinkies.
Don't make me do something to you two.
It's an old Dwarven adage where you dress alike, it's a thing. I don't have time to get into it. Let's get on with on the road.
Oh. I just can't wait for the time when you guys hold hands and cast it at the same time. Are you ready, Joxer? I'm ready, Davin.
By our powers combined.
Yeah, mage. What? You say mage, I'll say armor. Ready?
And go.
Oh, I love it.
Some right. Secret decoder rings.
So you guys starting to head
to Chandra with mage armor.
Are you guys starting to head north then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All right. Somebody roll a D100 for me.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Gwen won't. She don't care.
I don't care anymore. This even feels different energy wise.
It's a 15.
A 15.
Out of all the numbers it could have been, it's a 15? Wow. All
right. So, you guys are just kind of walking, and you're walking through the forest. It's still kind of dense fog. It starts to clear a little bit, though. And as it starts to clear, the sun's shining through a little bit more, and the ground is kind of covered, you notice, with leaves and sticks and stuff. Like the something's rustled the plant life around here a lot. It reminds you, especially Gwen, of, you know, like after heavy storms and that sort of thing, how a lot of the like dead limbs and leaves and stuff had fallen from the trees. And it just looks like that around here. A lot of brush and stuff everywhere. It spans a large area. It doesn't look unnatural. It just looks like there was a storm here in the last, I don't know, maybe several days. And as you're walking, everybody make perception checks.
Okay.
Don't mind if I do.
Oh, that 20. Is a big, nope. Dirty 20.
12.
It's a nat 20. 7. I rolled a 20.
Great.
15.
All right, what order are you guys walking in?
I probably went first.
Okay. I probably went second.
Okay. I'll go third.
Sounds good.
All right, so as you guys are walking, I need Kriggs and Gwendolyn to each make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
Do I care to make this throw?
You care.
Okay. 15.
Great.
16 plus 2, 18.
18, great. So as you are walking forward, you barely notice that there is like an indention in the earth in front of you somehow, and the leaves and sticks that have fallen are covering something. And so your foot kind of hits it and knocks a stick down into this pit beneath, and mm-hmm. or this ravine really beneath. And you can see that you are about to walk right into this. And right then, as you stop, suddenly, boom, boom, you're run into by Joxer and Davin, who are right behind you. But you manage to hold yourself and keep from falling in and stop them as you look straight down in these razor-sharp-looking jagged rocks in this ravine that kind of cuts between the trees and things. And you can see, you know, trees are growing at a different angle in and out of here. It's, again, not unnatural. It doesn't look strange to you. It's just, it was crazy. There were so many branches and twigs and things laying across the ground that it was hard to see this until, except you managed to just at the last minute. So
the branches and twigs and trees and stuff that are on the ground, do they look like they were placed there, or does it look like it just there's a large scattering?
Make a survival or insight check. All not right. Insight, investigation.
That is 11.
It seems natural to you. Like it doesn't, it's not laid in any sort of pattern. Now, again, somebody who really knows what they're doing could maybe make it look natural. You think that, but you don't think, you know, oh, definitely this was laid out to catch somebody off guard. And the ravine definitely looks like it's just a real ravine. And you can see it kind of runs as far as you can see in both directions as just a place where the ground has been split here somehow for some reason.
How deep is it and how far across?
It's only about 12 to 15 feet across, it looks like. Probably 30 feet deep.
Well, do we want to try and find a way around or try and jump over it?
Gwendolyn doesn't say anything.
You can jump your strength score in feet.
So I'm good.
So I can only jump backwards.
not Same your season. Strength, not your strength modifier, your score.
Your score. Yeah. Okay. My strength is an 8, so I cannot jump very far.
So there's nothing around that we could grapple on, or you said
there
some
are
of the trees
everywhere.
Hold on. You said I could jump my strength score.
Uh-huh.
I got hops. That's 18 yeah. feet, my dude.
Yeah, you can run and jump 18 feet. I can do that in real life. It's not a big deal.
I believe I can fly.
Yeah, if you get three jumps, you can
do
it.
So whenever you right. get a running start, isn't like 1.5 your strength? Is that what?
Oh, yeah, I think so, actually. So yeah, you can really, you got some good
jumps. You could 20.
Now you'd have to make a dex saving throw yeah. because anything like that with heavy armor on, you'd kind of have a struggle, but.
I don't have heavy armor though. I'm oh, well, then, yeah. armor boy.
You're a strong man. Dwarf man.
I'm a strong dwarf man.
Davin, could you use mage hand to take one of these ropes and tie it on one of those branches up there?
Yeah, sure, I could.
I think I could help out a little bit. I might be able to maybe lighten us up and may.
It sounds like a great plan. I just start running and I leap over.
Okay, yeah, Kriggs runs, lands on the other side, turns around.
All right.
Well, have a good time.
You didn't even have to fully jump either.
No.
Yeah.
You said it was 24 feet-ish?
Said 12 to 15,
no,
I think.
No, 12 to 15.
Oh, God, I totally misheard that altogether. I still think it might be best in this end to you know, have some support.
Oh, I'm Gwendolyn, not good.
Gwendolyn looks over and just kind of waves at them, and she casts a jump on herself, which means that I touch my waist and
do the Macarena.
I just jump.
Do it like super saucy, like hands on hip, like woo.
Yep. I snap my fingers, and my jump is tripled, and I just jump across.
Sweet.
Welcome to the other side.
See ya. And she just kind of walks past Kriggs, just kind of keeps going. Oh,
you guys better hurry.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the way that they just leave us like that.
I mean, I'm just trying to help you right now, honestly.
Oh, you can't get across? You can get across?
Coming, guys! I'm just following Gwen. You guys better hurry!
I'll just see you over there. How about that? And okay, I'll cast Misty good. Step, I'll and I'll just flash myself. Over there.
Yeah, nice.
And make the jump.
Poop, poop. So you're all there on the other side.
Welcome to the other side, guys!
I just appear right next to you, and you see just like this, like a white mist just kind of go around.
There's that stinky mist again. Welcome back.
Oh, no, this is different. This isn't Dimension Door. I learned this trick from you. It's Misty Step.
Ooh.
All right, well, so you're all on the other side now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, well, you continue walking forward. Go halfway through the day. The sun is bright in the sky above you, only slightly tinted by the little bit of dark mist that kind of hovers above you. But as you, about halfway through the afternoon, you begin to hear the loud. I mean, you were in Lonely Hill. You heard this river rushing, and it was pretty loud. But the sound now is incredibly loud. And you think for about an hour goes by, and you're thinking you could come upon this river anytime based on how loud the sound of rushing river is. But then another hour goes by, and you're still not there. And then another hour. And at this time, as you look forward and you start to head that way, it looks like there are storm clouds ahead of you. Just billowing black storm clouds swirling in the sky above. And you can see as you walk and kind of the sunshine is now fully on your left side as it's going down in behind the trees, you can see that even the darkness of the sky and the shadow is the night sky and the shadows of the trees and everything is nowhere near as dark as that black clouds you see ahead of you. And then after about right around dusk, the trees clear, and you are standing on a large, flat, dirt, no grass, no plants, opening that stretches as far as you can see to the right and to the left. And about 60 feet in front of you, you see a river and the banks of a river, and it is rushing past you. And it's loud, and it is moving at a pace, just a rapid, fast pace that you've never seen. And as the land that you're standing on kind of declines from left to right, the river flows from left to right in front of you. And those black clouds are swirling above this river and just throbbing almost and pulsating above this river. And those aren't clouds. That is the black mist that has been creeping. Little bits of it have been creeping towards you, and you've seen it in the wilds. You saw it at the Goblin Village. You saw a little bit of it as you exited and went north from Lonely Hill, and now you're seeing what seems to be possibly the edge of the source of this black mist, as it seems to have been reaching from here out everywhere else. And sure enough, as you look down the sides, you can see almost like it's living, just reaching across the river just a little ways or off the river. And there's about, from the water to the bottom of this black mist, there's about 30 feet in that space of just, you know, open expanse and space, but the mist still kind of drops and kind of dives down. Every now and then you see like cyclones of this black mist swirling down and bringing water up with it and splashing it back down into the river. And this is the Black River.
Kriggs. You guys remember how I said earlier it might be brighter and more exciting up ahead? I was very wrong.
Gwendolyn walks towards it
Gwen,
I think I'm going to take a bath.
Hold on.
She's going.
I'm using a mage hand, and I'm going to push her back towards us 5 feet.
Okay.
Stop!
I'm just saying, it could be dangerous. What is going on with you?
What's going on with you?
This is not like you. There's something wrong.
No, there's something wrong with you. You guys have been talking all morning. Just let me go do my own thing.
I've never met such an emo person in my life.
I didn't...
What does that even mean?
Gwen, and I'm going to run up to Gwen, and I'm gonna touch her shoulder. Just calm down, and I'm going to cast Remove Curse in hopes.
She's going to try to shrug it off.
She tries to shrug it off as you cast the spell. And as she shrugs, when she exhales, this black mist comes out of her nose and her mouth, and it swirls in front of her and joins the mist in the sky. And Gwen, you are no longer suffering from the apathy you were suffering from before.
I am immediately jumping up and trying to fan it like it's just the worst smelling thing. Just go, get out of here, get out of here.
Kriegs, remember?
Am I the only one that saw that?
No.
What was that? I don't know.
You're better now. That's what matters. And Kriegs, do you remember
now? What was happening?
You were super angsty and you were...
You were Spider-Man.
You were such an emo kid.
Guys! Where's Dale? And she frantically just goes through her bag and tries to find him. He's, of course, at the very bottom. And she grabs him out and just gives him the biggest hug.
What were you saying, Joxer?
Do you remember when I was telling you about the spider disappearing into the darkness?
Yes, I do remember this.
This is that darkness.
Won't like that.
Yes, but I fear that we still have to go through it.
Well, maybe it'll be fine if we feed it some spiders first.
great idea.
Spiders? I don't want to eat any spiders.
No, not us. Never mind. Are you okay now? You seem like you're better.
I feel better. I just... It felt weird. I couldn't control my actions. And her stutter's like getting worse and worse because she's panicking. She's never really lost control like that before.
The best... Honestly, the thing is you're back now. You're here now. Think back to the time back in the bunker with the Fomorian. That it's the same concept. You're back now, and that's what matters the most. We're here. We need to figure out what we're going to do about this. As I look up at the swirling tendrils of all this mist and just terrible looking cloud of vapor.
Joxer, you said you've experienced this before. I mean, more than I have.
Well, yes. I mean, whenever I took watch, after we killed those warping white spiders, or phasing spiders, one of the ones that we took outside of the perimeter was it just taken. It was gone whenever I just watched it get swallowed up. It was similar to, I don't know, Kriegs being taken by the hag. I don't know how to explain it.
So, is this what we've been looking for this whole time?
I think it's the start. I wouldn't... This is definitely the line between dark and light.
So, do we need to stop this or pass it? I don't understand.
I'm gonna do something real stupid. I'm gonna step kind of in front of everyone and just look up to the sky. Hello! See if it responds. Because it seems to be somewhat sentient to an extent.
I can definitely say that I will look over at him just flabbergasted.
You shout hello, and you're not sure if it's because it can't understand and it's not sentient and not thoughtful, or if you are inconsequential, but there is nothing, there is no response of any kind.
Well, it doesn't hurt to try. I look back.
Do we notice any change? Is it like creeping at us, or does it seem to be doing anything?
No, it just seems to be swirling and billowing from
how high does it go?
There's no end to it that you can see. It's so dark above it. It's just darkness. There's a 30-foot space you can see out as far as you can see river, you know, between the river and the bottom of this as it swirls down. But as far as looking up, it just looks like an endless expanse of this darkness.
Can we see the embankment on the other side, or is it just water?
You do not see an embankment on the other side.
Everybody just take a hold of this rope. I don't want any of us to get separated.
I tie it around my waist.
Okay. And Gwendolyn will also fall suit.
I don't know if anyone else is seeing the Roll 20 chat.
Oh, I am.
But I have started a countdown. We are down to 3 from 6.
What?
What?
I don't like that.
Now 2.
Where's this count? Oh, I see the countdown. Does that mean anything to our characters or just to us?
Just to you as players.
Okay.
He just wants a reaction. He's dying.
I got it.
I went into panic mode.
So everybody basically tied off, at least to an extent.
Yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to do here.
Well,
it's either all
gonna,
in.
I'm gonna cast my. I'm gonna cast my divine sense, which allows me to detect good or evil within 60 feet.
Yeah. Dude, like, does it tell you if it's good or evil?
Yep.
I think we've had this conversation before.
We have.
As you would expect, the darkness above you is nothing but evil. It is pure dark as dark can be. And as you look, you make a perception check with advantage.
Okay. Honestly, just that wasn't good. That was an 18 with advantage. Just at the magnitude of the size of it and that sense of evil that I have, I'm very awestruck at this point, besides whatever you're about to tell me.
Okay. So as you, what was your roll? Say that again.
The first one was 3. The second one was 18.
Yeah. With the 18, you look and you see, you know, first of all, you see the darkness just swirling above. You see, it is full. It is just, it's pure shadow. It's like the emptiness, the nothing, the expanse of just bad mood and horrible everything is in this cloud. It's evil. And then you look to your right and you see the river rushing. You look to your left and you see what looks like as the water is rushing from there. This water, this chunk of water, also has this evil aura around it. And you kind of look harder and you can see this thing. There is almost a life sentient type energy to this bunch of water as it is now approaching you. And it is moving now onto the shore a little bit. And as you see it moving to the shore, what are you guys doing?
I'm pointing it out to them because I'm not sure if they've recognized it at this point. I'm just going to basically point at it. I don't have any words because I'm still pretty awestruck just at the magnitude of everything ahead of us. It's very intense.
And you're all tied together now?
I tied off. I don't know about everybody else.
I mean, I didn't say I did, but I would have done the same thing as everyone else.
So everyone's tied together?
Yeah. And I would have... at least after seeing that or being pointed out, I probably would have at least grabbed my weapon, my rapier, and
you point, Kriggs, and when you point, everyone sees this enormous creature with 5 heads. It seems to be made from water. It's running on 4 legs towards you, and this water is swirling and flowing as it moves, and these 5 heads are like flowing and flooding towards you. The rear legs are shorter than the front. It gives it like a bulldog type stance. The heads look like water. They've got the black mist swirling inside of the water, and it seems to
kind of flash and flicker as it comes towards you. You see it kind of flash to like a green color, and then you see it flash back to this like blue color, and you see what looks like bolts of lightning darting through the inside of this creature. This thing is enormous. It's gargantuan sized, and it stands the size of you know, a giant building, like the size of a castle, as it comes towards you, all five heads moving towards you. And it, as I roll first,
a d6.
And yeah, so as it moves towards you, it launches and it seems to like spit this big glob towards you. And it looks like water. And as it comes towards you, it freezes like this, and it hits. Everyone make dex saving throws with disadvantage because you're tied together.
Tied together. Good idea.
Wow.
My original was just so you could hold on, but it started with tying.
Oh my gosh.
I got a 14.
I rolled another 20, but my other one.
Craigs, don't we get some sort of bonus 9 for being near you for saving
you
throws?
You do.
You said dex?
Yeah.
How's an 11?
Pardon me.
Okay.
So, dex saving throw, 8 plus 3 plus 1.
So upset.
So 12. That's a 12 at disadvantage plus whatever.
You get a plus 2 bonus to any saving throw if you're within 10 feet of me.
Ooh. Okay. So that gives me 16.
Oh, plus 2. That's nice.
So 13.
Okay. Joxer?
12. I don't think I get that bonus based on the map.
Yeah, you're not close enough. Kriggs.
I rolled a 13 plus 2 would be...
Wait. Do you get the bonus or just them?
I don't know. It's a dex wart, right?
Yeah, dex. That's right, dex. So you get a 14?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
so you need...
Oh, I get
oh, good.
16.
Oh, great. So you needed 15. So Joxer and Gwyn, you both take 10 d6.
That's a lot of D6s.
Gonna roll it in, roll 20.
10 D6s?
Yes, ma'am.
Quick math tells me that's 33 average.
So first it is 21 plus... I just rolled 5 twice.
You rolled... So you did D10s just so...
Oh, that's my apologies there.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that would
redo.
Be mean.
Redo. So a 19...
That's much better.
Plus 12. So a 31 damage. 31 damage. This and it's cold damage as this glob slams against Kriggs first, and or like he dodges out of the way, and Davin too, and Gwyn and Joxer, you both take the brunt of this as it just ice shards freeze you, and you take the 31 damage. Now we're rolling initiative.
Wow.
We're about to die, friends.
Yeah, so Craig and I took nothing. We're good.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Black River Guardian.
Ooh, great.
Wow.
I don't like it.
I like
this
my name.
Nice. This I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring lately, and this honestly feels like I've come across the actual, like, one of the real bosses,
we
not one of the just, like,
real epic music going on.
Instead of Dark Souls, it's Hired Souls.
A whopping like 13
I get
for
some
me.
Fighting music going.
I rolled 7.
Hey, you beat me. I got 4.
Maybe not.
15. Getting dim rolls.
All right.
Then.
So if you got 20 or 20 down to 15.
Me. I got 15.
Oh, this pencil doesn't work. Give me a break.
How does a pencil not work?
Use your finger.
The lead is broken.
Okay.
15. I guess I'll use the turn.
I think that's one of the best questions I've heard today is just, how does a pencil not work?
It sounds like the start of a really bad joke.
All right, so Gwyn. And then who? Between 10 and 15?
13 for me.
13. All right, between 5 and 10?
I had 7.
4.
Woo-wee!
Oof.
Be glad you're only fighting one monster.
That we know of.
That's right. and he rolls, or she, or it, or they roll a 14.
Does Doctor, what was yours?
13.
Oh, okay.
So we get another round here of the nice. All right,
Gwyn,
gold.
We start with you. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Gwyn's probably going to cast Fairy Fire to start off with.
Okay, Fairy Fire. That gives a little aura, right? A little glow?
Yes.
Give you some advantage.
A 10-foot radius around the creature.
Okay. What color is your aura of Fairy Fire?
It's going to be violet.
You're turning violet, Violet.
You're turning violet, Violet.
Dude, I said it first.
Violet.
I thought it before you guys said it, though.
That's rude.
It has to make a dex saving throw, doesn't it?
Correct. To make sure that it goes around it. I was trying to find it.
Rolled a 4.
Perfect! It fails!
It fails the dex saving throw.
Oh my god.
Here we
god,
go. My big monster's
good
failing
it.
Everything for a while. This is going to be fun.
So any attack roll against it has advantage.
Great. Just great. Just kidding.
And then, that is all I'm going to do right now.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. Then I need the creature to make its turn. So, all right. So we're going to, first of all, make a roll here. Okay. I roll a d6. Fail. Okay. So it is going to move towards you guys.
I was about to say, if Joxer moves, do we all go with him?
Yeah. Boom. It gets right up there to Kriggs.
Okay. I don't think he'd be strong enough to move
and
us.
And this creature, as it moves towards you, it's like galloping towards you with its, like I said, the lower, smaller back legs. It's got this like bulldog stance as it comes towards you. And each of its heads, with those 5 heads filled with water, it begins to shift, and it shifts into this, the water shifts into this big, clear water instead of this black bluish water that it was. It's clear, and you see this, you hear now this reverberating from this creature as it reaches out to make an attack on Kriggs. And as it goes to try to bite Kriggs, it rolls to bite a 19 plus 9. So hits on the first attempt.
Holy mama.
The second attempt is a dirty 20 with an 11 plus 9.
Still hits.
And you take a d10 piercing damage from the bite, which is a 5 plus a d6. So 10 total damage, a d6 piercing, and 5 from the piercing damage, and 5 elemental damage, which is thunder at this point. So I need you also to make a strength saving throw. Yeah, no, that's going to be okay for you. Yep.
Ooh, that was a natty 20, too.
Nice.
So 28 with my aura.
Dang. Great, so that first head bites you and hits you, and as it hits you, this thunder emanates from it and just jolts you backwards. And the second one bites you and hits you. And this it doesn't jolt you backwards. It just makes you like lean backwards, but you solidify yourself and stand strong against it. And then you take another hit from him. And this time the damage is 8 piercing and 3 thunder. So 11 more damage. And then the third head tries to bite you. Natural 20. So that is
wonderful.
16 plus 8. 24 damage from that one. Fourth head rolls a 16. And another 16. So I need you to make 3 more strength saving throws. For those last 3 heads that hit you. The last 2 miss as you are kind of trying to repel yourself away from these guys.
Strength saving number 1. 14 plus 6 plus 2. Well, yeah, so 22.
Saves.
17 plus all the numbers.
7 saves. You're beating a 15.
I just rolled a 15. So great. I rolled really high three times.
Great. So you're, this thing is every time, and everybody behind Kriggs, when these heads bite him, you're hearing this doom, doom, doom every time, and he's standing strong, but it is just a reverberating through you almost as this thing's doing this thunder damage, and that is the end of its turn. We are now to Joxer.
That halved me.
Oh boy. Okay. Since we're all technically tied together still, right?
You are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank goodness it's rope and not something metallic.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna kind of move and weave so that I'm kind of in like the little triangle position so that I can see as much as yeah. I can.
Yeah, standing just south of the other three of them, you kind of, your rope kind of dangles between you as you stay as close as you can without starting to pull them away.
Yeah, two attacks against the ropes that are tying Kriggs and Davin.
You're separating us with your attacks?
I am.
Okay.
So I'm gonna clear that so that you two are free. Do I need to make an attack action for that? Just as a...
No, those are free. Those are, you're using the action, but you don't have to roll. You can successfully strike them all.
Okay, so that's technically
that
my
rope
two
has an
attack.
AC of 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. It's a chain rope. Okay, so and then I'm going to use something new that I have, and it's Astral Refuge, which I disappear from the world for a brief moment and enter the astral plane, which I'm assuming that would drop the rope between me and Gwen.
Yeah, yeah. It just falls away.
And I can take two actions to cast spells or two actions that can only affect me in that area.
Okay.
Which I don't think I have.
Is that
much.
A bonus action to cast that spell?
I thought it was. I might be wrong. Hold on. Shoot, nope. That one is an action.
You use your action to slice the...
Okay.
Because you had to make two full attacks.
What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Could I use my melee attack or a bonus action to either untie myself or try to punch the rope in half with my magical fists?
You could try to remove the rope in whatever way you see fit with your bonus action. That is around you, yes.
Okay, then I would remove that bit that ties Gwendolyn and I together.
And that's your whole turn, though.
Yeah. Would I still get any movement? Because I've only moved, like, 10 feet.
You can get 10 more. Well, half movement total.
Okay, so, yeah, that'd be 10. Okay. I will separate a little bit out.
I'm just saying that time to untie or remove that rope, it was a chunk of time there.
Yeah, no, I get it. It makes complete sense. Yeah, that is all I have.
Okay, great. So you just moved about 10 feet away from the rest of the group over on the side there, and then away from the monster a little bit, still standing about 10 feet away. That takes us to Kriggs' turn.
Oh, I'm not feeling very good. All right, at this point, everyone is behind me, correct?
Correct.
This is bold, considering that I've realized this thing is basically made of water, but since it seems it has some kind of magical properties, and I'm a little bit at my last wit about this, I'm going to... After taking all those hits, I'm a little shaken up. It's kind of an understatement. I'm not necessarily shaken up. I'm faltering just in my stance. But I'm going to brace myself, and how you see fighters do before they throw a punch, it looks as if they pull energy from the ground up. I'm going to channel everything that I have in me, all the holy power, everything that I possibly can, and I'm going to throw what looks like a punch, but I'm actually throwing all of the magical energy I can conjure into a fireball.
Okay.
In front of me, ranging out to where it is far enough to not hit me, and I'm the furthest most thing forward. So I know as long as it's not hitting me, the the orb of flame or whatever is in totally encapsulating this thing and trying to hit everything in its path.
Okay. So you cast technically fireball?
I'm casting fireball, the spell.
Got it. Okay. And then so it needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Yep.
All right. So that's going to be a 18 to save.
That saves.
So it takes half damage.
And I cast...
I believe.
Yeah, I cast that at third level.
Okay.
Let's see here. Do the damage on this. Rolled a total of 31.
Great. Okay.
So whatever your half damage is on that.
Yeah, that'll be 14. All right. So you hit him or that the flames begin to erupt around and you see much of it as it goes around him. He kind of shakes and his head's kind of flail up and down and the water around him just kind of seems to like extinguish some of these flames as this fireball burns around him and then is absorbed and some of him evaporates for sure. And he, you know, it's as in him taking damage, but much of that didn't do what you had hoped it had done to him.
That's fine. And is he directly in front of me?
Yes, he is.
Just as a last retort and just to let him know that, like, he's not getting through me to whatever is behind me, I'm going to do a bonus action. I'm going to use my feet, and I'm going to give him a shield master shove. I can't. I didn't do an attack action.
Bummer.
Yeah, I guess that'll be it for now for old Kriegsley.
Okay.
I'm going to grab my hammer out and hold my shield in front of me and just brace for whatever onslaught it has coming.
Great. So as those flames kind of absorb into it, you see it, this little light glow in the middle of it, and it begins to swell inside, and suddenly this thing is steaming and just bubbling and boiling as this thing now, the energy that it holds is now fire. That takes us to Davin.
Noticing that it's fire, Craig smiles.
Cool.
What?
Davin's going to turn around to Gwen, and he's going to put his hands on her shoulders, and he says, "This is not the place for us, Gwen. We got to move." And I'm going to cast Dimension Door, and if she's willing, I'm going to pull her with me.
I go.
So what you see is my cape billow behind us, and it's just all black, and you see the blackness kind of engulf our entire vision, and it's kind of smoky inside, and as we like move through it, almost like passing through a veil, you see beyond it, like... black and red skies with like lightning made of fire, and on the ground it's like pure rock with like bubbling lava coming up, and then you see in the far distance this like big city that looks like it's made of brass as we go zooming forward through it, and then it just like rips away, and then you see the land on the other side as we move to the other side. That all happens in like an instant.
Nice.
Where was that?
I will explain that later. And then I'm going to use a sorcery point to quicken spell, and then I'm going to, now that I see that's fire, right?
Yes.
I'm going to cast Frostbite toward it. I hope this works.
Okay.
And it has to make a constitution saving throw of 17.
All right. Constitution save. That is a 14 plus 5, so 19
saves. So nothing happens at all.
Okay. So you cast, what was it you cast?
It was Frostbite.
Frostbite, yeah. So you cast this spell and you see the water begins to like look like it might start to harden and ice over, but the flames just burst from it like solar flares coming out of the backside of this creature as you stand behind it now, and doesn't allow any of that to happen as this thing stands strong. Is that your whole turn or what you got next?
Gwen is standing next to me, and I don't really want to be like, are we still tied together, or did you cut the rope between us?
He cut the one between you two, I think.
You two were cut, and then I untied Gwen, so everybody should be free of rope.
Okay, I'm going to kind of pace myself so I'm like 10 feet away from her, just so we're not standing immediately next to each other.
Okay.
Oh, why? Do I smell?
You kind of smell like sulfur. So do I.
You do now, yeah. All right, that takes us to Gwen's turn.
Taking a second and watching what Davin does, she realized that he was trying to freeze it, and She is going to cast Ice Storm at level 6.
Is the fairy fire... Sorry for all the rules people out there. I've never played anything that had fairy fire. Does it grant disadvantage to saving throws? Just advantage to attacks? Okay. Thanks for nodding your head in this audio format.
Sorry.
I was more talking to Derek, but yeah, both of you nodded.
That's funny.
All right, so you'll need to make a dexterity saving throw as I cast this ice storm.
Got it. Saving throw for me. Natural 20.
Why?
I know.
Well, still, I'm going to cast at a level 6.
Starbucks dice are redeeming themselves.
So, you're going to take half damage.
Okay.
And since I'm doing it at level 6, I get to add 2d8 since it's a level 4 spell. All right. So, we're going to do 4d8. And so you get... Let me add the other ones. A bludgeoning damage, which comes to a total of 8, and then 4d6 of cold damage. Boop. Which makes it 18. So 18 plus 8, and then half that.
So 9 plus 4.
Yes.
13. So 13 total damage. And this is... describe how the spell shows up. What happens?
Even though the sky is dark because we're at Black River, you start to see these pellets of ice and snow come down, and then it gradually gets faster and faster as like a cylinder comes down over this creature that's like 40 feet high and has a 20-foot radius, basically covering the creature.
Yeah, so this ice is just shooting down into these flames, and half of it seems to almost like melt and dissolve before it even gets to the creature, but half of it does pierce through, kind of splashing away some of this flame as you see it kind of sizzle away and doing some damage to the creature. Is that your whole turn?
I'm also going to cast my spirit totem.
Okay.
And I'm going to do the unicorn. It's at the very end. And this one's going to add protection to my nearby friends. And whoever's in the circle will get advantage on ability checks made to detect creatures.
Where are you putting that circle?
I'm putting it in between all of us.
Okay. How big is it?
So right here. It is 30-foot radius. Yes.
Great. Great news. Okay.
Very great.
A 30-foot radius of aura of protection.
For those audio fiends out there, there's about 30 feet between all of us, and you cast it basically on the creature, so any... The proximity is like right there behind the creature. So anyone that's close to it is being protected.
It currently, Gwen is standing about 35 feet behind the creature. I'm about 20 feet behind the creature. Kriggs is right in front of the damn thing.
Yeah. So it gives you...
We're hugging. We're old pals.
So it gives you ability checks to detect creatures in the spirit's aura, but any spells that's casted in it using that restores his points does more things. Equals my druid level. If that ramble wasn't good enough of an explanation.
That's you said radius, right?
Yeah.
Radius would be 30 feet from the center, so that's 60 feet across.
Yep. Yeah.
It big.
And so I'm like, move. Kind of like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you're surrounded by this aura, and it only protects who you want it to, yes?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
yep. So that's your whole turn?
Correct. And you see a little unicorn floating up, made of like little glittery stars.
Okay. That's lovely. the creature now raises three of its heads up, and you see these three globs shoot one each at Gwendolyn, Davin, and Joxer. Three attack rolls for the globs of fire this time. It is a plus. Oh no, they shoot towards you. You have to make a dexterity saving throw, each of you.
Okay.
Who was it now?
As it explodes in flame around you, Davin, Gwyn, and Joxer.
Nobody gained any hit points at all, correct? You just put your aura up, which allows us to do special stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It only lets you like have advantage on ability checks to detect any other creatures.
Okay. Yeah.
That's but a if 20, I cast a spell.
23. Yeah.
5.
14.
All right, so Gwyn and Davin, you each take 4d6.
46?
4d6 every time.
Yep.
I was playing with the kids 46. The other day, and damn, they said 2d something, and I said, did you say 2d? And they thought that was great.
I think I've made that joke on this podcast.
Probably.
I'm a child.
So 13 damage from the two of you. And actually, no, that's 13 damage for Gwendolyn. And then 11, 12, 34, 20 damage for Davin. And Joxer takes half damage.
This is fire damage, yes?
Correct. Ooh, three sixes. 18. 22 halved to 11 to Joxer.
Devil damage.
As these flames erupt around you and singe your leg hairs off.
So,
yes?
I got hit with cold damage. Now you're hitting me with fire damage, so I should also have half of that. That's Ashley logic.
Ashley's making up rules.
I was chilly, and now I'm warm.
I'm playing my own D&D.
Half of that damage was me. Half of that damage was me saying thank you. I was cold. all right, and then Kriggs, the first roll to hit you is a 27.
What it did just there, that was considered an attack, correct?
Oh yeah, three attacks. Bam, bam, bam.
Well, I'm going to use a reaction. And when a creature within 5 feet of me makes an attack against the target other than me, I'm going to use my reaction to make a melee weapon attack against that creature.
Cool, do it.
So I'm going to take one-handed attack, because I'm still holding my shield ahead of me, nervous of whatever it's about to do to me. That, sir, is a 19.
19 will hit.
And let me roll my damage on that bad boy.
Do it.
With that reaction, can I add a Divine Smite to it?
I need to look at Divine Smite. Because it's going to say, it may say, when you make an attack action, which an attack action is not the same thing as a reaction attack.
Well, let's read this. When you make a hit with a weapon melee attack.
Oh yeah, that sounds like it works. That's a weapon melee attack. As long as you're not leaving out anything.
No, so watching this creature lob attacks before, without even thinking, just instinctively, the protector and Kriggs basically says, like, no, not today, and he's going to swing his hammer as true as he possibly can, and with all the force of all the holy everything inside of him, he is going to do a attack on this creature, and the damage on this is going to be 13, 11 bludgeoning, 2 dueling, and I'm going to add a Divine Smite to that goodness at level 3. Adding 26 radiant damage into that attack. So it's a total of 39?
Okay.
26 of that being radiant.
Yeah, so as you just smash this guy, one of his heads just... the radiant damage shoots out of this thing's neck, water neck, and its head just sprays with this flame and water, and it vanishes, and it just gets destroyed from this attack. So so now that's why one of the attacks, three of the heads shot globs at the other three, and then this one, after getting that one head exploded, he makes that one attack at you with a 27 to hit.
That doesn't hit.
And oh wow. You're playing a different game than I thought. So it's a D10 plus 5 piercing damage. Oh man, 8 piercing damage, and then the fire damage is D6 4 fire damage, probably halved or something, right? Because you got stuff against fire.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. And then when you take this damage, I need you now to make we're going to make contested strength checks as it tries to grapple you with its bite.
Sure.
Dirty 20.
You beat me. I rolled a 5 plus 6.
This creature grapples you with one of its heads, bites down, and begins to drag you, pulling you towards the water.
That doesn't sound very good.
Did he get advantage or anything on that roll? Because of your aura, Ash?
Saving throws?
No. Does not count for saving throws.
You are now pulled into, you are in the water just at the edge of the shore where it's about waist deep for you, Kriggs, knee deep to like Joxer and Davin. And it has its teeth sunk into you. You can't move.
If I'm
move.
In its mouth and it's made of water, can I breathe?
Yeah, it's not. You're not completely in its mouth. It just like bites down and it's these flame teeth pierce your shoulder and chest, and it's biting down across the chest from at an angle, and it starts pulling you down and dragging you into this water as it changes its form. Oh, sheesh.
Uh-oh.
At the end of its turn, it changes its form, and it is now... The flames just seem to dissipate, and they're replaced with this green swirl and this sizzly kind of steam, and you now feel this burn of acid as this creature is awesome. Now flowing
oh my gosh.
Acid. And that's where we're going to leave this episode.
Bye, Kriggs.
Wow.
It's been nice knowing
bye.
You.
Bye, fam.
What's your new character going to be like?
Probably a dwarf. A
dwarf paladin. Meets
Krags Galder.
Named Krags.
Krags 2.0.
Thank you for listening to this episodic installment of The Hired Swords. If you liked our show, tell a friend about us. And if you really liked our show, do us a favor, tell the world, leave a review. If you want to keep up with us and all the behind-the-scenes goofs and gaffs, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. If you want to get yourself some sick loot, you can find our merch shop at thehired.store. And be sure to look at our tweets for an invite to our Discord to hang out with the cast and friends. Again, thank you for listening.